Welcome to Narratives. Ali Sinclair writes romance stories set against the background and history of the dance world. She has meticulously researched historic ballet companies like the Ballet Russe for this book, which is part of a series of books based on the dancing world.
She shifted in her chair and looked over his shoulder. Parisians hurried past, not a care in the world, totally oblivious to Yves Rousseau interrogating her. "We haven't spoken for nearly 2 years," she said. "I'm sorry for this." He sounded genuine. They fell into silence and she was grateful for the chance to get her thoughts straight. "Let us talk about something nice. Is this your first time in my beautiful city?" he asked. Lily closed her eyes for a moment. "I was here a while ago." "Ah, I understand why you would want to return. The parks, the monuments, theatres, museums." He counted them off on his fingers. "I'm a lucky man to be living in Paris." "Yes, you are." She sipped her coffee. "But I'm afraid the beauty is lost on me." "Oh," he cocked an eyebrow. "It's not Paris, don't worry. It really is a gorgeous place, but my experiences here have been far from wonderful." He opened his mouth, but she cut him off. "Please, don't ask. As much as I enjoy your company, I just can't talk about my previous time here." Yves nodded and his show of respect made her want to blurt out everything that had built up inside since Aidan's death. "Would you like to know a little about me?" The glint in his eyes helped her quash the painful memories clawing to the surface. "Actually, yes, I would." Her genuine interest rattled her a little, but she was grateful for the change of topic. Perhaps now was the time to get off her cloud of despair and bring herself back into the real world again. The only problem she could see was Yves' connection to the ballet world. Why couldn't she have met someone who hated the dance as passionately as she used to love it? "I am, how you say, an open book," said Yves. "My belief is that everything in life, good and bad, is a chance to learn. We should not be embarrassed about our pasts, as most times our decisions are the best we can make at the time." "That's a nice philosophy, Yves, but I'm not sure it's that easy." "Why not?" He pushed the plate of macaroons towards her. She shook her head, suddenly off food. Yves continued, "Most people try to do the right thing, even if our motives are misguided. I can tell you for a fact that not everyone believes that." "Ah, your sister?" he asked. "Was she that transparent?" Lily bit her bottom lip. "Is this why you don't like ballet? Because your sister is a dancer?" "The relationship with my sister is complicated. She has more layers than an onion." Lily laughed, relieved to be speaking with someone who understood the workings of Natalie. "She's not the easiest person to get along with." "No, she is not." Yves popped another macaroon in his mouth. As he chewed, his gaze rested on the bustling pedestrians. "You love her just the same, will you?" "She's my sister," she said. It wasn't really an answer. "I'm sorry, but I'm just not comfortable talking about her at the moment." "I understand. Not everyone is like me and will talk to their life about strangers. Although, we have met more than twice, so that makes us acquaintances now." He grinned and dabbed his mouth with a serviette. "Do you mind if I have one more thing to say about Natalie? Then we change the subject." "Sure," she said, figuring Yves wouldn't let up. And even though Lily hardly knew him, she enjoyed his warmth and friendliness. "I overheard Natalie say you were wasting your life, and she does not want you and hers." Her fingers turned ice cold. "You heard that?" "I'm sorry, but it is impossible to switch off ears, yes? Plus, you two were yelling." "Was it really that loud?" That chunk of hair fell over his eye again, and she resisted the urge to lean over and gently brush it away. "You're not too loud, but using ears is part of my job, and I can even hear the softest of sounds." "Your neighbours must hate you." His laugh spurted to join in. "Luckily, they travel a lot. Back to you and your sister, though. Why does she think you are wasting your time?" "It's a long story." "Such a long, long story." "You are hard to get to know, Lily Johansson." "Sorry, it's just I've spent a lot of my time alone recently and I'm not used to deep conversations." She placed her elbows on the table and placed her forehead on her hands. "God, that makes me sound pathetic. I'm not a social leper, I promise." "You're having some troubles, that is all." "I wish it was only some," she mumbled. "Do you want to be out of Natalie's life?" "She's always been melodramatic." Once more, Lily didn't answer properly. "I understand your sister well enough to know that what is normal for most people is a big drama for Natalie." He drummed his fingers on the tablecloth. "I believe I can help you." "How?" She leaned forward, trying to suppress the rising hope. "I am one of the few people Natalie will listen to. I don't know why, but it is so." Lily knew exactly why her sister would pay attention to what Yves said. his charm, openness and ridiculously good looks for starters. She's dancing as understudy in the current ballet for Bahim and will be auditioning for Turning Point. This means my school will be completely finished very, very soon. She nodded for him to continue, not sure where he was headed. So I have a proposal for you, he said. Dare I ask? Heat flashed across her face. I will smooth the way for Natalie to listen to you. Good luck on that. I do not make a promise unless I can keep it. I will get your sister to listen, but I cannot guarantee her reaction. He leaned back against the chair. In return, I will have the pleasure of your company while I put the finishing touches on Turning Point. Lily's mouth dropped open, but then she quickly closed it. Of course Eve's Rousseau was too good to be true. For a moment, he'd convinced her he wasn't the peculiar composer she'd met in the park, yet here he was, spouting ridiculous proposals once again. I'm not your muse, she said. Maybe we should not use that word. You were happy to call me that when you grabbed me the other day. She scraped her chair against the stone, ready to make a hasty exit. And I apologise. He held his hand over his heart. I get carried away at times, just like your sister. I'll be honest and tell you I am desperate. The ballet company hired me in good faith to deliver this ballet, but I am stuck. It is written, but it is not to the point where I am fully happy. It does not have... He waved his hand in the air as if trying to grasp the right word. Zest, passion, je ne sais quoi. But the 2 times I have seen you in the park, my spark has returned. And now that I've seen you today, he pushed out a long, low whistle. I'm inspired again. Muses don't exist. They're just used by artists as an excuse not to work. Are you always this cynical? No. At least she hadn't always been like this. She used to be this half-glass-full kind of gal, but since Aidan's death, her demeanour and view on life had changed. She'd struggled with it every day, but just couldn't be the person she once was. Eve said, I shall call you my inspirationist. Your what? Inspirationist. His lips twitched, then broke into a wide smile. Deal? I don't know. Although she couldn't see any other way to achieve her goal, she had to get to the bottom of Natalie's behaviour, and if she had to sacrifice a few hours with an odd composer, then so be it. Fine, she crossed her arms. Are you saying yes? His wide eyes sparkled. Yes. Excellent. And so we begin Project Inspiration.
You have been listening to Ali Sinclair, reading from her book, Beneath Parisian Skies. Narratives is produced by Karina Winmoylan of Arts Campus Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.